What I have to say today, I don't say lightly, and I recognize it is weighty, and I'm approaching this word with soberness, similar to how I said before, because we are in a very critical season in the body of Christ, in human history, just period, with all the things that are happening in the world, all the things that are happening just in general. And God is moving. He's moving strategically. He's moving intentionally. And he's moving with power. A lot of times we pray for a move of God and, you know, those kind of things. But every time God moves, he moves with and through his people. Now, there are times when God will move sovereignly. We know that. But major moves in the earth, God always invites his people to be in partnership. And so we've been talking about the posture of gratitude and how it releases the blessing of favor. And one of the things that I'm recognizing is this blessing of favor not only is connected to gratitude, but is connected to humility. And as God is moving, because remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how as God moves, he moves us. And I call that the movement of God's messengers. And so as he is moving, promotion is inevitable. You're going to be promoted if you already haven't been already. And promotion does not look like, always look like how we define promotion to look. Because our culture would tell us promotion is when they call you into your to their office, they show you an evaluation, and they tell you all the things you've done good, some areas of growth, and then they tell you they're going to give you a 2% pay increase, or they're going to give you a title, and boom, you're promoted. With the Lord, that kind of thing does happen, but promotion with him is more about your impact and influence in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. Say amen. And so your promotion that you receive may not equal a job promotion, but it may supersede your job promotion. And so what I want to talk to you about is when God exalts you. Because a lot of times we think about exalting Jesus, which we do, but in the scripture, we see where he exalts people. God told Joshua around Joshua 3, I think it was around chapter 3 or chapter 6, where he said that I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel so that they would know that just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. So a lot of times the favor of God will cause you to be exalted above those around you so people will see that God is with you. You guys following me? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, from the Classic Amplified. It says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. A lot of times we read that in conjunction with giving because that's what Paul is talking about here. But let's look at a kingdom key that's hidden in this passage. It says God is able to make all grace. Say all grace. All grace. Meaning that there is certain types of grace. Otherwise, the word all would not have been written. He would have just said grace. And then the Amplified brings it out. It says, every favor and earthly blessing. Meaning that there are different types of favor that will be activated in your life, in different seasons of your life, for you to accomplish the will of God, and there are earthly blessings that will come upon you to be successful in the fulfillment of what God has told you to do. Say amen to that. Now, we know if there's an earthly blessing, there's also a spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1 and 3 from the Classic Amplified says this. I'm going to just read it to you. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm. So God puts every favor, every earthly and spiritual blessings upon us. You following me? And so these blessings, these favor, these different dimensions of the spiritual blessing, the earthly blessing, and the favor, they come upon us in abundance so that we can fulfill our assignment. So promotion is inevitable, but it's very important that as we walk out our calling of God, and as people are drawn to us, and as our influence increases, as people begin to listen to us more, as they come and say, I don't know what it is about you. Yeah, I know what it is. It's the anointing. When you see people gathering to you, you have to remain in the posture of humility. You cannot forget the assignment. Now, I'll tell you this. I was grieved the other day when I saw online, and I'm not going to say the person's name or the podcast he was on, because I'm not going to put a member of the body of Christ on blast like that. I've matured in 4 years, because 4 years ago, I'd have said name, I'd have said the podcast he was on, and I'd have said all kind of stuff. But I believe in restoration. And so I've grown and matured in this thing. So on this particular podcast, there was a well-known, what people would call a gospel music artist. And this individual was being interviewed by this group on this podcast. And this podcast is actually a Christian podcast. And so they were asking him, they said, hey, do people in the gospel music industry have beef like, you know, the secular artists do? And when I mean beef, I mean argue with each other and make songs, you know, arguing with each other, the back and forth over music. And so they were asking him that, and he was like, yeah, but they just don't make songs about it. And I was like, wow, okay. And I'm sitting there watching this like, okay. And then so the people were surprised, the interviewers, and they asked him, he said, well, what do you guys argue or beef about? He said, well, that people in the industry sleep with each other's wives and spouses. And then he said, so instead of putting it on a song, they argue about it behind closed doors, because his words were, there is a code of discretion. Then he said, it's easy to sing about Jesus and do whatever you want in the background, because no one would suspect that kind of behavior. Now, this is that person's words. I'm not saying what a YouTube reaction is. I'm telling you what the person said out of his own mouth and released on the internet. And so when I saw that, I paused the video and I wept before the Lord at the condition of the body of Christ. God blessed this person and others with a platform to glorify him. And instead of walking in the purity of that call, They forgot the assignment. They got over into the flesh. And now they are depending upon skill rather than anointing. See, it's one thing to be skilled as a musician. It's one thing to be skilled in a trade or profession. It's another thing to be anointed. The anointing makes the difference. It is the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. And so you wonder why when people are singing those songs in their praise and worship expressions in churches all over the world, and they're not seeing people experience breakthroughs, because what was released on that song had no power. And so I wept, and then I thought about another, and then I prayed. I didn't just weep. I did pray for the dude and anybody else. And then Holy Spirit brought to my mind a different video that I saw a couple months back, where a non-Christian musician was on YouTube saying, for all y'all musicians out there and you're touring, don't tour with Christian artists. And he said, now he told a story about how he was sitting in with a church choir. Then a major artist heard him and said, I want you to tour with us. Now, to me, that I had too many problems with that in the first place. I'm like, wait, you don't believe in Jesus, but you here playing? Like, first, we need to get you to believe in the Lord and get you to know who you are in Christ before we have you expressing your gift. See, we would not sell out, and I love our stance here at Ayers. We don't sell out for talent. We believe presence and anointing trumps talent, trumps gifting. I don't care how gifted somebody is. If they don't know Jesus, or if their heart is not right towards presence, you sitting down and you getting some word. So he tours with this group, and then he says, one, they didn't pay him like they were supposed to. But then two, he said the same thing, that offstage the people were fooling around with each other. One of them performed an act on him that he described as acrobatics. And then he said, how does this happen? And she said the exact thing this other artist said, discretion. And so this is why the Lord has been having me speak to the body of Christ about discernment, because we have to discern the spirit behind what's being released. Even when we're listening to songs on Christian radio or whatever the case may be, because it might not be what we think it is. And what I see what happened is what God talked about in Ezekiel 44, where he says some had left the charge and they went after idols. And God said, you can minister before the people, but you can't come close to me. But in 44:23, he said, but those who kept my charge, you not only will minister before the people, you can come close to me. See, as God promotes us, we have to remember what we are there because of God. We are there for God, and we are there to represent him. We cannot buckle under pressure, temptation, or any of those things, because God is not promoting us to fall or lead people astray. He's promoting us to lead people to him, and he wants us to walk in a place of conviction about the assignment and the word of the Lord. See, this is how you can be Let me say it this way. This is how you can be fearless in terms of people trying to cancel you, because you know you wasn't promoted by man. God may have used the man, but the man didn't promote you. And sometimes when man thinks they promote you, they think they can demote you. They think they can take your title away or do all these things. But the only thing they're doing is causing a more exceedingly weight of glory to be upon your life. Y'all following me? So here's what it says. In Psalm 75, or is it Psalm? I'm sorry, it might be Psalm. I don't know what this is. You know how you paste scripture into your notes? I'm like, it's Psalm something where it says promotion comes from the Lord. So my notes look all weird right now. I'm like, wait, is it Psalm 75, 6, and 7? I think that's what it is. Psalm 75, 6, and 7. From the Passion Version. It says, this I know, the favor that brings promotion and power doesn't come from anywhere on earth. Remember, we say God bless us with every spiritual blessing. And so that favor that comes that brings promotion and power comes from God. It doesn't come from anywhere on earth. It says, for no one exalts a person but God, the true judge of all. He alone determines where favor rests. You don't have to try to earn favor. It's already been given to you. You don't have to pray for favor. It's already been released to you. Gratitude postures you to receive it. And humility postures you to steward it. Because how you steward a thing determines how much you value that thing. So, here's the thing. A lack of gratitude and humility brings entitlement. Entitlement is a form of pride. So we see in those examples that I gave, some kind of way entitlement and pride got in. Something is playing. Oh, over there. Okay. Praise God. And then this Apostle Catherine Crick says this: what you feel entitled to, you don't value. So we have to value the position that God places us in. We have to steward the anointing that is on us and understand that there are times when what's on the outside might not be reflective of everything God has said, but you got to be patient and be grateful for where you are and where he's taking you. See, being grateful for where you are doesn't mean you're being content or resting in contentment. It just means, God, I thank you that I'm here in this place and all that you've given me, and I thank you for where you're taking me. See, gratitude will cause you not to miss the moments and not to skip steps. Because if we don't skip steps and don't miss moments, we'll be thoroughly prepared to steward the promotion that God has for us. We won't be ill-prepared when we walk in it. I'll tell you, because promotion is attractive. People will be attracted to you for whatever the reason. I remember when I first became a principal, all of a sudden parents was trying to give me phone numbers and all this stuff. And I was like, I'll call you about your student if I need to, but the teacher will talk to you. Don't tell me, talking about, if you need to relax, call me. No, thank you. That's what Dr. Val is for. But why? Because promotion, people to be drawn to you, and if you don't properly steward that influence, you're getting the flesh and think it's because of you. Because here's the thing, and I have notes, but is it okay if I just talk and flow? 1 Timothy 4 talks about, it says, the Spirit expressly says in the last day, people will leave the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and follow doctrines of devils. See, there are spirits assigned to attack people of faith to draw them away from God. A seducing spirit isn't always a sexual thing. It's just meaning it's trying to entice you to do something that you're not supposed to do. And sometimes those enticements may look like opportunities, but you have to discern a fake, a false, and deceptive opportunity. Because every opportunity ain't of God and from God, and what have you looking up, well, how did I get here? And you'll be far away from where God has called you to be. That's what Satan tried to do to Jesus, the Word in flesh. He took Jesus to the top of a mountain and showed him all the glory of all the kingdoms of the world and said, look, I'll give this to you if you worship me. See, a fake opportunity will try to make you think that there's a shortcut to fulfilling your purpose when there isn't one. And if you take it, you're submitting to the source of the opportunity. So we have to be careful. Because I remember hearing two different testimonies of people that God delivered from witchcraft and the occult. And they would specifically say that Satan will have them send incantations and spirits and everything else to people in leadership or people of influence. Why? Because if the person who has the influence is corrupted in their soul, then they're going to release corruption. And they're going to lead people away from God, thinking they're leading them to God. So as God promotes us, we have to be on guard. We have to guard our heart with all what? Diligence. And we have to be discerning of what's being said, what's being done, what we listen to. We have to be discerning to know the Spirit of God from the soul of a person. Because some stuff is skill and soul. It has nothing to do with Holy Spirit. And remember this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 5. I feel like I need a part 2 and a part 3. So it says this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, from the New American Standard. It says, you younger men likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the what? Humble. So when a person gets in pride, they could be not only resisting and setting themselves up as opposition against God, they could be opposing the favor of God. Because remember, entitlement is a form of pride. So they could be resisting the favor of God that they're believing God to receive by operating in pride. They can be resisting the grace of God that has empowered them to be successful because of pride. And they could want a touch from Jesus, but resisting the one who wants to touch them because of pride. This is why it says this in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Notice we humble ourselves. So the part that we do is to humble ourselves before the hand of God, and he exalts us at the proper time. Now that proper time is the same phrasing for kairos and due season that we see in Galatians, meaning there is a set time and an appointed time for promotion. But if we don't humble ourselves, we would not be prepared for the promotion. You guys following me? And see, here's the thing. We're going to look at Daniel 4 really quick. And I'm going to repeat this prophetic phrase the Lord spoke to me a couple months ago. I was studying Revelation chapter 4. You know, that's a beautiful chapter. I love the book of Revelations. It's so descriptive. A friend of mine who does comedy, he once, cracked a joke saying the scariest book in the Bible is Revelations. But Revelations is so beautiful, and this actually was the first book I studied when I came to Christ. And in Revelations 4, we see, after John having this encounter with Jesus, seeing him, getting the letters to send to the churches of the different cities, he hears the voice of the Father that says, come up here. Now, you would have thought he was already in a specific dimension or place because he just saw Jesus and he described him. And Jesus, and he's seeing the candlesticks and all these things, getting the letters to send to the churches. But then he says, come up here. And then he comes up and he sees the throne room. I'm like, Lord, I want that kind of encounter. Let me see the throne room. Let me be in my room praying and I just see the throne room. He sees the throne room. He sees the seraphim with the six wings, and he describes them like what Ezekiel saw. And they're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He sees the elders. And he sees them lay down their crowns and lay prostrate before the Father. And when I was studying that, the Lord said this. And I want you to really take this to heart. As God is moving, as his favor is on your life, as you're stepping into promotions, spiritually and naturally, this phrase God spoke to me. He said, the greater the dimension, the greater the submission. There was a reason why in the throne room of God, the elders were on their face. See, the more that God promotes you, the greater you need to submit to him, and the greater degree of humility you should have and gratitude you should have that he's promoted you. And you should value that degree of presence, that degree of power, that degree of anointing, and steward it. See, the anointing that is in you is so precious, is worth more than gold, is worth more than money, and you have to steward it. And we cannot be like Esau, who traded his birthright for some soup. He was hungry, but the funny thing is, he was a hunter. Why didn't he go get him a fish? Why didn't he go get a rabbit? But he allowed the desperation of the moment to make him forfeit an eternal blessing. And so I wonder how many people are smiling, for people watching online, this is the body of Christ, wide word, are smiling and saying, Jesus, Jesus, but are forfeiting the true nature of the call for the desperation of the moment. I need to get these likes on social media, or I need to get this promotion on my job. I need to get this pay raise. I will be silent so they don't think I'm a troublemaker. How many people? But know that when God promotes you, there's an expectation to do his will. When Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael got promoted in Babylon, they played the music. It was like, oh, you going to bow down and worship? They were like, nope. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, got so indignant. He said, what God's going to save you from my hand? He said, look, and the Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael said, look, our God will deliver us from your hand. And even if he don't, we ain't going to do it. See, we have gratitude and humility will allow us to have that kind of resolve. Anything that's not in alignment with God, nope, I ain't going to do it. I don't care what's being offered. I don't care what's being said. I'm not trading the value of the favor of God and the anointing of God for this temporary thing. Because here's the thing. A believer that's not functioning in the anointing can say the same words, do the same thing, and have zero power. Because the power is not in the words or the act, it's in the power and presence of God that is on you when you do the thing. In Ezekiel, there was a spot where God showed Ezekiel leaders that were behind closed doors facing east with their cisterns and the women weeping for Tammuz. And he said, look, they're trying to drive me from my own house. See, these things, when people begin to engage in secret things in the background, what they are doing is denying the anointing and rendering themselves powerless to demonstrate the kingdom. And so you have to know, as God promotes you, that your assignment is to remain powerful. Say powerful. Because he anointed you with Holy Spirit and power so that you could what? Do good. He put his word in your mouth so you could do what? Plant the heavens. You cannot demonstrate the kingdom of God without the power of God. God never intended for you to be on your assignment and not function in the miraculous. But you can't operate in the miraculous and from a place of entitlement or pride. The miraculous happens when you understand the value of what God is doing in you and you steward it through gratitude and humility. See, humility doesn't mean you're not bold. Humility means you see yourself like the way God sees you. And you understand that you're not better than anyone, but what gives you the advantage is the power of God. Because you're supposed to have a miraculous advantage at work. While other people are trying to figure out what to do, you should be able to download what to do from God. While other people are stressing out, you should be able to access the peace of God. When people are trying to get a solution, you should be able to say, hold on, give me a second. While people are saying, I don't know, you should say, give me a second. And listen for Holy Spirit to tell you what to say. See, you have an advantage because you have an empowerment that comes from heaven upon you to release heaven's solutions wherever you are. Glory to God. All right, I got 5 minutes. Can I take 5 minutes? Thank you. So in Daniel 4, real quick, we see King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar has this vision of a tree, branches stretching all over the place. And in that vision, it says he saw an angelic watcher descending from heaven. And I was like, ooh, angelic watcher. But that angelic watcher issues a decree against Nebuchadnezzar. And said it was a decision. He said, verse 17, it says, this sentence is by the decree of an angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets over it the lowliest of men. So these angelic watchers repeated or released a decree from the Lord over Nebuchadnezzar. And basically they said because he was prideful, he was going to lose his authority until he humbled himself. And the thing is, when Daniel brought this interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know what Nebuchadnezzar was thinking, because it says 12 months went by before it actually happened. Now, here's the thing. When somebody prophesies today, if we don't see it happen in 7, 14, or 30 days, we start thinking that person is a false prophet. But true prophecy sometimes takes time to become a reality. Just because you ain't see it in 90 days, 120 days, or like 6 months from now, oh, that person missed it. See, everybody's talking about false prophets. Listen, you can tell a false prophet from a real one. Let me just pause right there. A real prophet is going to point you to Jesus. A false prophet ain't. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, it just boils down to be that simple. Because the Bible says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So every prophetic word should point you to him and not the person. And anybody prophesying and trying to point you to them, they wrong. I remember a couple years ago on this one social media app, I did call out these dudes who was trying to get people to pay for a prophetic word. They was talking about Cash App me and I'm going to give you a prophetic word. And I was like, don't you do it. That's a spirit of divination. Prophetic words are not for sale. And anybody doing it need to get deliverance from the occult spirit that tried to come upon them. So 12 months go by. So in Daniel 4, verse 28, it says, all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, 12 months later, as he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The exact thing he saw in his dream that Daniel told him about happened to him. I believe in that 12-month period, Nebuchadnezzar had time to repent and humble himself. Because some prophetic words are warnings and give opportunity for repentance. And it doesn't make it a false word. He had 12 months to humble himself, but he didn't, and it happened exactly what it said. It says he heard a voice come from heaven say the same thing that was said in the vision that Daniel told him. And then it says he was driven out into the wilderness. He was eating grass. His hair grew like an animal. His nail grew so long like claws. And then in verse 34, it says this. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. And my reason returned to me. See, some of y'all are wondering why some folks are unreasonable. Because they ain't looking at Jesus. I had a phrase, but I'm not going to say it. I'll keep that to myself. My mama told me, if it's not nice to say. It says, I raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I bless the Most High and praise and honor him who lives forever. And then if we skip down to verse 37, it says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. He got humbled. Now, here's the thing for us. As believers, walking in covenant relationship with God and one another, we don't need to allow circumstances to humble us. I want to encourage you to keep the posture of humility with God. As he puts you in rooms that you never thought you would be in, puts you around people who you think are further along and have larger stature than you. You know, as you are at work and in business and you're networking, remember, you don't have to position yourself because God is already positioning you because of the favor of God. You don't have to do anything to be next to someone or get someone's attention because God has already, you already have God's attention, and he will cause the people who need to know you to know you. I had someone reach out to me by email and said, look, I reach out to people when three things happen. One, if I keep hearing their name over and over. Or two, if I meet them and something stirs in my spirit. And then the third thing, I don't remember what the gentleman said. And then, because I was, when he said the first two, I was like overcome by the presence of the Lord. And then after he said the third thing, he looked at me and said, Jamal, all three of them happened with you. I keep hearing your name in spaces over and over. And when I met you, something stirred in my spirit that made me want to connect with you more. And then whatever that third thing was. See, God will cause your name to be spoken in rooms you haven't entered. He will cause people to see you and their spirits will stir, like how we talk about how Cyrus' spirit was stirred. Their spirit will stir towards helping you fulfill the assignment of God on your life. You don't have to do a thing because the favor of God is on you. And so you need to walk in those spaces like you belong there while being grateful to the Lord for putting you there and stewarding the influence. Say amen. Amen. So let me give you these three things in less than 60 seconds. Number one, remember you are in your position for God, because of God, and you're there with God. The positions of favor that God puts you in, you must remain grateful and focus on why you're promoted. Keep your eyes on the assignment. Number two, value the presence, the anointing, and the favor of God more than anything that may come apart from God. And then number three, temptation, in whatever form it may be, always comes prior to and once you enter into a new level or dimension. Remember, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness before he started. Overcoming temptation will allow you to walk in and access greater dimensions of authority and power, and will sustain you as your influence increases. Amen. You guys receive that word? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.